27 away from 5 o'clock. This is ESPN 1530. I'm Mo Egger. The Reds 2021 Fantasy Camp was originally scheduled for this month, and it's been postponed to 2022. But if you're among those enrolled in Fantasy Camp, they put you in a year-long program, which includes extended batting practice sessions, Hall of Fame membership, expanded info on equipment, hitting, conditioning, pitching, nutrition. So they've got a virtual fantasy camp. It's kicked off this week. They have Meet the Coach events with some of the coaches at fantasy camp, like Rob Dibble, the great Jack Billingham, Brett Tomko, and my next guest, who spent 8 seasons of his 14-year big league career in a Reds uniform, a couple of the best individual seasons in franchise history. Aaron Harang among the virtual fantasy camp coaches. And Aaron, nice enough to give us a few minutes this afternoon. I appreciate the time. Aaron, how are you?
I am doing well, Mo. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad you're here. How long have you been involved in Reds Fantasy Camp?
This would have been year 4, 5.
Very good. Good deal. Give us an idea of how this works for those who maybe are uninitiated. What is a Meet the Coach event? How do you coach virtually? How does this work?
Meet the Coach event. Well, and I'm doing it with Brett on Thursday. We're just going to be on a big Zoom call and be able to just kind of talk to, you know, some of the campers and, you know, maybe new campers and old campers and our veteran group and, you know, just to kind of be able to catch up and see how they're doing. And, you know, it is the more you do these, the more you get to know a lot of the campers, because there's a lot of repeat campers and, you know, become friends with them and we hang out with them, you know, away from the ballpark. It's not like, you know, we're just away. I mean, the coaches and stuff, we got to dinner with our team and, you know, hang out at the fire pit there at the hotel and just kind of mingle with, you know, with a bunch of other campers and kind of get to know them. So it's a good time.
It's got to be fun. Obviously, it's different now, but it's got to be fun. Your playing days aren't that far back in the rearview mirror. It's got to be fun for a week or two to be back on the field, back in uniform, back doing the things that became so routine for you for the majority of your life until you hung them up permanently.
Yeah, it's a blast. We'll get to see, you know, the former players and guys that, you know, guys I played with, and then some of the, you know, older guys that were around when I was playing. You know, the Reds would bring into camp and they'd be around Cincinnati and we get to meet them, and, you know, and so get to kind of be around those guys. So it's a fun week that we get to kind of hang out and catch up, but then it's an amazing week for the campers to come out and, you know, we're coaching and we're telling stories and we're, you know, giving them pointers and kind of getting to be the coach this time and you know, teach them some stuff. So it's a lot of fun. A lot of aches and pains by the end of the week for these campers. I think even the coaches, you know, at the end of the week, we end up playing a game against all the campers. So there's like 12 teams, you know, 144 campers, I think. And we play 3 innings per team against the campers, so we had, you know, 36 innings. long final day for the coaches, even, because we're trying to, you know, guys are going out and playing. I mean, we haven't, you know, a lot of us haven't played in quite a while, and you know, some of us, me and Brett, you know, we throw quite a bit because we live about 10 or 15 minutes from each other, so we'll throw a little bit before we go out there, and you know, we like to heat it up a little bit to the campers, yeah, when we get to face them. You know, it's because it's fun. It's we talk smack to them, and, you know, they talk smack back, and it's just a fun time to go out and get to meet all these. I mean, they're diehard Reds fans, you know, and they get this opportunity to go out and be treated like a player all week. You know, their laundry's taken care of, and they're fed all week, and, you know, and then they're going out and playing games, and they're using the training room quite a bit, but You know, but it's all such a blast to do this all week. So
yeah, I got to think though, it's got to be a thrill. You know, first of all, if I'm standing in there against Aaron Harang, I want to see the real stuff. I want you to see. I want to see you get it up there. But if I get a hit on you, if I'm one of those campers, that's a big deal, and I'm gonna talk it up. How often does that happen?
You know what? A lot of times. I mean, I like to heat it up, and you know, but I'm throwing fastball changeups.
Right.
I think the breaking balls hurt too much. You know, you got to work up to train up to those, throwing those. But, you know, yeah, I've had a few guys get hits, but, you know, I'm pumping fastballs down the middle. And, you know, I'm getting it up there. I'm, you know, 80, low 80s. You know, I'm still running it up there pretty good. So it's not like I'm letting back, but I'm pumping it down the middle. And I've had some guys get some hits off me. And, you know, of course, they talk smack and I sign the ball and had a few of them where I've blown their bats up. And so, of course, I talk smack, and then I sign their bat. So it's, you know, but it's all in good fun. We have a good time doing it, and I know it's definitely weird not being able to be out there. Actually, this week would have been out there. So.
Yeah, this would have been it. Aside from doing this, in your post-playing days, what are you up to? What do you do now?
I'm doing some work with Tony Gwynn Jr. He's got a travel ball organization, so I've been kind of heading up the pitching on that, basically creating a throwing program for, you know, we have kids from I think 9 to 18 up through high school, and we have 10 different teams, and so, you know, I have them all, you know, throwing programs to help them teach, you know, how to control their distances and count their throws and, you know, work on stuff. And obviously as I go, you know, when I do see the older kids, you know, I get a little bit more into the head game stuff with them to try and teach them, you know, the cat and mouse part of the game of baseball. So I'm doing that. My oldest daughter was played softball middle school. And last year she convinced me to coach. So I got into the coaching softball. I've actually gotten pretty decent at throwing fast pitch batting practice. So better than batting practice, I try and throw overhand because it's too close for me. But, you know, it's a lot of fun in the little league too, coaching my son. And I know my his twin sister, she'll be getting into the softball next year. I know she wants to play, so I'm assuming I'll be diving back into that coaching aspect again as well. So,
talk to me about coaching young pitchers. We're in a time in this sport, and you're well aware of this, where protecting arms is at a premium at the highest level. Innings are monitored, pitch counts are monitored, I think to degrees even well beyond the major league level and even below the professional level, I think to degrees that, you know, we didn't do 20 years ago, maybe when you were growing up. Walk me through your philosophy when it comes to working with young kids, whether they're, you know, grade school or even high school, when it comes to protecting their arms, the amount that they throw, monitoring them, that sort of thing. What's Aaron Harang's philosophy?
You know, I kind of, the older kids, high school age kids and stuff, you kind of, I'm basically trying to give them the starting platform, which is what I was given, not until I got to like college. But, you know, you start them on a platform, on a throwing program. And, you know, I tell them, hey, each of you is different. Some of you guys are going to be able to throw longer, you know, more long toss than others. You know, so you kind of have to figure out that on your own, you know, accord and obviously talk to me about it. You know, and then the younger kids, it's just making sure the mechanics are correct, which is kind of what you do all the way through, is making sure, you know, they're not getting crazy with, you know, getting out to the side too much. And, you know, obviously there's some kids, you know, some guys that throw sidearm and stuff, but those guys usually don't develop till later on in the high school and in the college and stuff. So the biggest thing is the younger kids making sure they're doing the proper mechanics and, you know, not overthrowing them, you know, too much. I mean, yeah, I threw a lot as a kid, but I also took, you know, you had winter off and you had fall off where you weren't playing baseball. You just put your glove down and you went and played another sport. Now it's so much that they're playing a sport, that one sport year round, they don't go play other sports, so they never really take a break. I think that's where it's getting difficult, and they're over monitoring. You know, they don't get their arm a time to actually recover because they're doing it year round now. So that definitely, you know, creates a challenge. But you know, you have to adapt to each kid, and some kids just can throw more often, but you don't throw them in the competitive, you know, stuff as often. That's where it's, and then just throwing in practice and everything else, but then getting them in competitive games too often, that's where you see the injuries happen because they ramp it up even more.
Aaron Harang with us. He is part of the 2021 Reds Fantasy Camp, which is being held virtually. If you want information on Fantasy Camp 2022, by the way, reds.com/fantasycamp. A couple on your time here, and you had a very lengthy big league career. I will never forget, because I loved Jose Guillen. So the Reds trade for you, and I'm mad because I liked Jose Guillen right before the deadline, 2003. And then, as it turns out, you're a rotation mainstay for almost a decade. You had some fantastic years, 2006, 2007, among the better individual seasons in franchise history. When you think of your time as a Red, those eight seasons, what are one or two of the memories or teammates or people that come to mind?
Oh, gosh. Man, you're putting me on the spot. That's, you know, it's the atmosphere in Cincinnati was just so amazing. Everybody was just so genuine and nice, and you know, so it's hard to kind of really pick one or two people. I know one of my favorite players that I played with, really close friend, is David Weathers. You know, and he spent time with the Reds before, and then he was there when I was there. We've become really, really good buddies, and now, crazy enough, watching his son, you know, picked in the first round and made his major league debut actually here in San Diego. And, you know, he was kind of a big part of my career and helping me fine tune some things and, you know, working with me on the head game. You know, but overall, yeah, it's really hard to pick exactly. Yeah. I mean, well, and then thinking about it too, you got to pick the mayor.
Yeah.
You know, one of the best guys around. I used to have to, you know, talk to him. Hey, Sean, you know, you got to make sure you're paying attention if I want to pick off, because I know you're trying to distract the base runner talking to him, but make sure you're ready for my pick. But, yeah, Casey's awesome. You know, and obviously all the clubhouse guys, you know, they always serve us so well. You know, the Stone brothers and Bernie Stowe, and you know, you become friends with, you know, the radio guys and Marty and Nuxy when he was here, and you know, they're just such good, genuine people that it really enjoyed my time with all of them. And you know, it's, you definitely miss the ones that aren't there, and you miss the guys when you know you don't get to see them, but we still keep in touch from time to time, and obviously doing things with the Reds in the Hall of Fame, and you run into them, you know, every once in a while and get to catch up. So
you think of your time here, you know, you come to Cincinnati, Barry Larkin's still an active player, was still a Cincinnati Red. You leave here and Joey Votto's winning the MVP. That's the length of time that you were on this team and in this rotation. The 2010 season has always been interesting to me because they get good. They're good for the first time, and yet you miss time. At the end of the year, you're not in the rotation. How tough was that? How tough was that season that it's finally the payoff for all these years that you put in? The team is really good, really fun, really likable, and maybe you're not as much of a part of it as you would like to be.
Yeah, you know, that one was tough. It was, you know, because, I mean, I was one of the guys that, you know, my turn to take the ball, I'm taking it, and so that was a hard one to kind of muster up. And you know, and I had kind of been changing some stuff mechanically, and we had been tweaking my stuff, and you know, so yeah, it was definitely tough to be in there and be out on the field and taking the ball every fifth day. You know, but I enjoyed every minute of my time in Cincinnati and miss it. Cincinnati was my second home. You know, and we've gone back a couple times, and we still have friends and neighbors that we became really close with, and you know, we still keep in touch with them, and you know, still obviously calling the Reds all the time, and you know, talking with guys I've been able to go to spring training the past few years, and be a guest coach for the week, so I get to kind of be around the guys again, and during spring training, and talk to some of these younger guys, and catch up with some of the guys that were just coming in as I was kind of going out, and so you know, it's always fun to come back to Cincinnati, and you know, it's near and dear to my heart. So,
all right, one more. You mentioned working with the young guys, working with the guys at spring training. This team has gotten to be pretty pitching rich in recent years. Are there one or two guys that stand out to you that you've seen, had a chance to work with, had a chance to talk to, that you enjoy watching, that you enjoy coaching, being around, that kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, it's I really liked watching Castillo work. You know, he's just got such amazing stuff. His changeup's unbelievable. You know, I think I've watched some games in the past, and you kind of see him get away from that a little bit because maybe somebody clipped him on one or whatever, and he'll kind of back off of it. And sometimes that's, you know, can be a kind of sending in a backward spiral. But, you know, he does a great job with those guys. I enjoy my time talking with him. Obviously, it's, you know, it's a different philosophy now with the kind of the way they go about all the analytical stuff. So being around him, watching Sonny Gray pitch was, you know, he's a fun guy to kind of talk with and go back and forth with. And he was, you know, he's one of those younger guys as I was kind of going out. And, you know, I kind of watched him when he was with the A's and with the Yankees. And, Garrett, you know, he's a fun guy to kind of talk to, and very intense when he's out there on the field. But you know, you got to have that. You got to have that intensity when you're out there.
Aaron, awesome stuff. I enjoyed this immensely. Enjoy Reds Fantasy Camp virtually. Hopefully, everybody's back on the field in Goodyear next year. And thanks for giving us some time today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, Mo. Good
you got it. You. The great Aaron Harang had a marvelous career. You realize he leaves Cincinnati in 2010. He pitched for 1,000 different teams, but he was around for 5 more years. Padres, Dodgers, Seattle, very briefly with the New York Mets. Goes to Atlanta and finished things up with the Philadelphia Phillies in 2015. Ended up starting 381 big league games. Led the league in starts with the Reds in 2006. Started 34 games in 2000, absolute workhorse. And as much as I love that 2010 season, one of the more painful parts was here was a guy that was, you know, really a part of this franchise, kind of turning the page in the later part of the decade. And he wasn't as much of a part of it as you could argue he should have been. It wasn't like he was 32, it wasn't like he was, you know, 41 years old or something like that. But anyway, 2022 Fantasy Camp, inforeds.com/fantasycamp. It is 9 minutes away from 5 o'clock. And today, by the way, is a big day in baseball because the class of 2021, which might consist of zero players, is going to be announced. The baseball writers voting in, maybe nobody this year. We still haven't put in the class of 2020. I have thoughts on this. I'm going to make this very simple when it comes to baseball Hall of Fame arguments. In what is a not-so-simple time for such a thing. Next on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati Sports Station.